my wife again. She's the only thing that looks right in here. Even if she's staring at me a little blankly, her face asking me, what next? Her dark hair, currently piled high in a messy knot, isn't as glossy, and her eyes aren't as shiny. But she still takes my breath away. I get up from the chair and slowly round the desk, dragging my fingers across the wood. Then I rest my arse on the edge, crossing my legs at the ankles and my arms over my chest. Her eyes fall to my torso, and I smile to myself. What do you see? I ask, prompting her to look up through her lashes at me. What do you mean? Here. I indicate down my tall frame, eyebrows raised in question. What do you see? I see you. Play the game, Ava, I warn, low and husky, instantly making her shift in her feet. That's more like it. She's fidgeting. Good. Let's get this fucking show on the road. She breathes in long and deep. She's finding the courage to say what she wants to say, and I silently will her on. I see dirty blonde hair, she begins, clearing her throat in order to continue, as if the silly act will wipe her voice of the lust that's growing. Green eyes. And a body to die for. She smiles shyly on a little shrug of one shoulder, color creeping into her cheeks again. Which I'm guessing you must work hard for, given your age. I just managed to keep my eyebrows from jumping up in surprise. I don't work that hard, I clarify, thinking now would usually be a perfect time to start the countdown and warn her to take that back, but not now. And you don't know how old I am, I point out. How old are you? 23. She laughs lightly, looking away. She's struggling to keep our eye contact, and I just know it's because she's finding it too intense to deal with. This is good. You think I'm handsome? I pose it as a statement because I know it to be true. She might have lost her memory, but she can't have lost her taste in men. I'm her taste. Me. Only me. Devastatingly, she confesses. With no hesitance or shame, finding the strength she needs to lock eyes with me. Then we're off to a good start. I half smile and so does she. More shifting of her feet happening. You're also cocky. You love my cockiness. I avoid telling her that she also loves my cock. It's too soon. Or is it? Then her eyes drop to my groin, as if she's read my mind. And my cock, the one she loves, shouts from behind my fly. I talk it down urgently. It's definitely too soon for that. I don't think her mind would cope, and especially not her healing body. As I take measured steps toward her, her breathing gets more labored until she eventually gives up altogether and holds her breath. I reach her and dip, kissing her cheek lightly. It's a pleasure. I whisper, smiling when she shudders from top to toe, before snapping out of a trance and moving back. You had the very same reaction the first time we met. She puffs out a shot of disbelieving laughter, looking away as if embarrassed by her reactions to me.
You, yes.
She shakes herself and then winces, reaching up to her head and clenching the side.
You certainly have a presence.
She finishes on a face screwed up in discomfort. My guilt is instant. This was too much too soon. I move in and pick her up, and she lets me, welcoming my offer of support. I have legs, you know, she says, settling her head on my shoulder.
Yeah, you tell me most days.
In one swift but careful move, I maneuver her body, guiding her legs to around my waist. And this is more like it. Our faces are suddenly close again, her unsure eyes on mine. You call it our baby chimp cuddle,
I say quietly. She smiles faintly, scanning my face as if she can't get enough of it. I'm guessing you didn't actually sweep me off my feet the first time we met. So what happened after you had me coming over all hot and bothered? You ran.
I ran?
Yes. You virtually threw yourself down the stairs to escape me. Well, after I'd shown you the extension and told you I liked your dress.
The extension?
You've lost me. I hired you to design the new rooms I had built here. Realization floods her eyes, as well as a little happiness. Something has just clicked for her.
So that's why I was at a posh sex club.
I nod and move over to a black leather couch, lowering and keeping Ava on my lap. Tell me your last memory. What's the most recent thing you remember, Ava? I take her hands and hold them on my chest, watching as she falls into thought, her forehead creasing in concentration. I wait patiently for her to try to find what she's looking for, soundlessly willing her on. I was working for a company called Rococo Union. Her lips twist as she looks up at me. There was a man I was seeing, but it wasn't you. I feel like a knife just plunged into my fucking heart. And though I fight not to show it, I know my nostrils are flaring dangerously. Is that it? There's nothing else. I try not to sound too hopeful. It's hard when I've never hoped for anything more. Just a little something for me to work on. Anything? Her blank expression, the fact that she's stalling her answer, tells me she doesn't.
I'm sorry.
She looks away, probably to avoid the disappointment on my face. Her despondency kills me. I pull her forward, wrapping my arms around her shoulders. It's fine. Take me home. She snuggles into me, and I feel her tears soaking through my shirt. Please. I'm up from the couch, quickly carrying her out, trying not to let myself feel defeated. It's still early days and she's heard only a morsel of our tale, yet she's exhausted by it already. But I won't quit. It isn't in my DNA, especially when it comes to this woman. Chapter 18. I let us into our home and toss my car keys on the table in the hallway. Ava has been so quiet since we left the manor. So thoughtful and pensive. And I just know that she's trying to wrap her mind around the fact that her husband once owned an exclusive sex club. I feel like my past, the secrets, the hard truths, is all rushing forward and drowning me again, albeit in an entirely different way. I've never felt so fucking helpless. Tell me about our first date, she says, as she settles at the island. And I get us some water from the fridge. Our first date. Christ, I just know she's imagining something romantic like women do. All flowers and feelings and smiles. There was all of that, just not in the same way she's probably expecting. It's a little unique. I take some water and shut the door, risking a peek over my shoulder. Unique? Not much about our relationship is conventional. Never has been. I nibble on my bottom lip, wondering where to start. We should go into the lounge, where it's more comfortable. I hand her the water and pick her up without thought, carrying her to the crushed velvet couch by the fire in the lounge. She doesn't say a word, but I can practically see her thoughts churning. It's slowly driving me mad. Constantly trying to guess what's going through her mind. I can't go on like this. What are you thinking? I ask, setting her down on the sofa and joining her. Pulling her feet up onto the couch and a little grimace of pain, prompting me to help lift her injured leg, she looks around the grandeur of our lounge. I'm thinking this room has my name written all over it. I know that's not what she was really thinking, but I humor her. Also taking in the gold and crimson decor.
It's my favorite room in the house for that very reason. It is my wife through and through. You were never 100% happy with it. I don't know why. To me, it's perfect. But Ava always said there was something missing, and for the life of her, she couldn't put a finger on it. The curtains need something on the header, she says out of the blue. I shoot her a look, finding her staring at the drapes. Like what? Some decoration on the pencil pleats. A crystal here or there, maybe. She shakes her head and returns her attention to me. What are you smiling at? Nothing. I kick my feet up on the coffee table and relax back as best as I can, with her not in my arms anymore. I just want to yank her close. All this gently, gently is weird. It's fucking painful. So our first date? She asks, pulling me out of my funk, my head dropping to the side to find her. It depends what you call a first date. Oh God, was I easy? I bark out a bout of laughter. Easy, I fucking wish. Far from it, and it drove me wild. But I went on a date with you. We'd had sex a fair few times by the time I actually took you out for dinner. I was easy. She grimaces, as if disappointed with herself. She shouldn't be. If anything, it was me who was disappointed that it took so long for her to finally give in to the pull that was driving us both to distraction. I shouldn't be surprised, since I know how quickly I fell pregnant. She shakes her head in dismay, and I keep my mouth firmly zipped closed. But part of me was hoping you'd tell me we met. Sparks flew, you asked me out, we dated for a time, we eventually fell into bed and made romantic love. And then when the time was right, you proposed, and we lived happily ever after. It's as I thought. All sweet and light in that mind of hers. Idyllic fairy tales. Fucking hell, she's so far off the mark, she may as well be on another planet. Not quite like that. Then like what? She's hungry for information, keen to learn. I'm not sure I'm very keen to tell. Well, when you refuse to entertain my... I pause, wondering how best to position it. Advances. That's diplomatic enough. I had to get creative. I refused. Her eyes take a little trip down my reclined body, clearly wondering why she turned me down. It plants another seed of hope that I pray won't be killed off before it has a chance to grow into something beautiful. Yes, and it's a question I asked myself many times, too. I smile when she finds it in herself to rip her stare away from my chest. You're stubborn. Always have been. Always will be. She sniffs, though doesn't argue, pressing on with her thirst for more information. Creative? How? I open my mouth to tell her exactly how, and then think better of it. This needs careful approaching. You refused to come back to the manor to fulfill your designs, and I knew it was because you were wary of me, of the feelings you had. It was most frustrating. I half scowl at her, and she half smiles in return. So I promised I'd stay out of your way if you came back and finished the job. I can see her trying to cast her mind back. But I didn't. Stay out of my way. I nod. Staying away from you proved very, tricky. You must have had a real crush. A crush? I laugh. An obsession would be more apt. You blew me back. With your beauty. Your voice. Your passion for your job. For the first time in years, I felt alive. Years. I knew we'd have to go over this, but, God, it's not something I relish the thought of. I was a bit of, I fade off, thinking how to make it sound less sordid. A playboy. Well, that's not a surprise since you owned a sex club. She's taking it rather well. It's a stark contrast to the reaction back in the day. If only she'd been this willing to listen and accept back then, when she discovered the communal room. I shudder, remembering the train wreck that ensued. "So you used to screw around?" she asks. "Something like that. But you stopped when you met me." "I stopped," I say, hating myself for bending the truth. Positively hating myself. I'm being selective with what I tell her, and I know in my heart of hearts that isn't fair. "Why don't I believe you?" She tilts her head, scanning my worried face. "You're lying to me, aren't you?" I close my eyes, stress creeping up on me, and swallow down my fear. I can't even appreciate the fact that she's reading me like a book, like she knows me inside out. "There was one incident. You cheated on me." She's up off the couch, quickly glaring down at me through the discomfort her sharp move has spiked. I'm about to be trampled, Ava style. "Not exactly." I grab her hand and encourage her back down, not releasing her when she fights to regain possession of a limb. "We weren't really, fuck, how can I put it, exclusively dating. But we were seeing each other. I guess so, if that's what you want to call it." "Well, I don't know, Jesse." She's getting more and more irate, and I have no idea how to handle it. Usually I'd pounce right back at her, we'd spar with words, and then we'd make friends in the bedroom. "Because I can't fucking remember, can I?" she seethes. "Watch your fucking mouth!" She recoils, disgust invading her face. "Excuse me?" "I don't like it when you swear." "Well, I don't like finding out that my husband has cheated on me." Motherfucking God. I release my hold of her and sink my head into my palms, searching for some calm. I never dreamed we'd be going over this again. "Ava, I got myself in a bit of a state over what I felt for you. It wasn't healthy. The intense feeling so soon. So I walked away from you. I drank. A lot. And I screwed two women. And I didn't even finish because all I could see was you. I spent two fucking days locked in my office wondering what the hell to do because you didn't know about the manor. You didn't know about my history. You knew nothing and I didn't have a clue how to tell you. This is fucking knackering me out. All of it. So I threw all of my energy into making you fall in love with me in the hopes that you would accept it all when I found the courage to tell you, and you did, Ava." I grab her hand, ignoring her startled expression and soldiering on. "You accepted me because you were as hopelessly in love with me as I was with you. You couldn't be without me either. You let me take the lead and you followed willingly. You let me lavish you with the attention and suffocation because you knew it's what I needed. You learned how to deal with me, Ava, and you are the only person in this world who can." My voice cracks. "And now I feel like you're slipping away from me, and I don't have a fucking clue how to make it right." She's still, quiet, looking increasingly startled. The silence is unbearable, excruciating. "Please, say something," I beg, pleading with my eyes as well as with my words. "I punished myself. You punished me. I can't go through that all over again." "You punished yourself? How?" I'm quickly shifting in my seat, dropping her and raking my hand through my hair. My actions speak volumes, even if my mouth refuses to. "Jesse, how?" She presses a certain sternness in her demand. Does she realize she's reading my body language? For a woman who doesn't remember me, she's showing all the instinctive signs of knowing me. I wish I could appreciate that right now. I can't. I'm just more terrified by the prospect of ruining my chances before I've even really tried. I had myself whipped. I close my eyes as I tell her, unwilling to see the inevitable horror on her face. It was either that or drink myself into oblivion.
What?
She gasps.
Whipped? By who?
I don't hesitate. Let's get this horror show over with. Sarah.
Who the hell is Sarah?
An old friend. I open my eyes and find Ava heaving before me. She's mad. It's a small blessing because it shows she cares. You didn't like her much.
I'm not surprised.
Pivoting, she walks to the French doors that lead to the garden and stands staring out across our land, arms folded over her chest. It's cloudy out there. Dull. Grey. Miserable.
Apt. Why would you do that?
She asks. I already told you to punish myself. She remains with her back to me, though I see her shoulders rise. An inhale of shock or an inhale of strength.
And this Sarah, your friend, is she still in your life?
I'm thrown back to last week, the moment when John told me she'd return to London, the moment when I went to call Ava to tell her, but got a call from the school instead. The moment when my world shattered. No, I vow, because she isn't. She left. Moved to the States when she realized there was only one woman in my life. You.
That was good of her.
Her curtness stings, but I accept that it's all I can expect. Sarah was my uncle's girlfriend, I explain. They had a little girl together. Ava turns to face me, all spite lost, astonishment replacing it. But she was in love with you. I nod. Uncle Carmichael owned the manor before I did. I worked for him as a teenager. He introduced me to that lifestyle.
Bloody hell, Jesse. Do your parents know?
Of course. That's why I didn't speak to them for years. We only reconciled when you came into my life. I pat the couch next to me. Ava, come and sit down with me, please. I don't know if it's instinct or a sense of duty, but she does, settling warily. I'm going to give you a shortened version because, frankly, it's so far in the past and there are so many other things I need to share with you, tell you, things that are more relevant to our lives now. Things that have made us happy. Things that have built us. Things that helped us get over the shitty stuff and brought us to now. But it's all part of our story, good or bad. I can't argue with that. But it's painful, Ava. She reaches over and takes my hand. It's a natural display of comfort, and I'm so grateful for it. Tell me. I rub into my weary eyes with my spare hand, squeezing my other around hers. I was a twin myself, I begin, and she smiles softly, changing the hold of her hands so her fingers are laced with mine, moving closer. My brother was the good boy, the achiever. I was, well, a pain in my parents' ass. I see that now. I led him astray and, fucking hell, I can feel a vice squeezing my heart, air being drained from my lungs. We were out one night. Drinking. It was my idea. I encouraged him. Jacob walked into the road. Her hand covers her mouth, realization hitting her.
Jacob,
she mumbles. I nod my confirmation of our son's name and my dead brother's. Mum and Dad blamed me for Jake's death. I was a mess. I felt so guilty. Something tells me that I should hold back on my ex-wife and dead daughter right now. I'm already bombarding Ava with so much. So, right or wrong, I skip it and go straight to the beginning of my life at the manor. Or the end of my life until Ava crashed into it. I went off the rails. Took up residence at the manor. Uncle Carmichael passed away, I inherited the place. And the rest is history. Her cheeks puff out, her head shaking slowly, disbelieving. I don't even know what to do with all of this. Do nothing. Say nothing. I'd tell her, pulling her closer. When I met you, you pulled me out of the black hole I'd been trapped in for so long. You gave me new life and purpose. I felt good for the first time in years, and I wasn't about to let you refuse me those feelings. So you got creative. Her eyebrow hitches a smidgen. Yes. I swear I'd never worked so hard to get laid. A small gasp followed by a playful slap of my upper arm prompts a little laugh from me, and as a result, Ava rolls her eyes, not being able to help smiling herself. I pull her onto my lap, and she doesn't complain, coming with ease. Was it good? She asks. When you finally got me into bed. Her lips seal tightly, as if she's bracing herself. She's wondered this before. She's looked at me and considered what it would be like to be intimate with me. You mean against a wall? Huh? This is better. This is the important stuff. The feelings. The connection. The out-of-this-world sex. At Luso. Her frown is huge. What's Luso? A complex in St. Catherine's Docks. You were the designer, or I bought the penthouse. That's how I heard your name and why I got you to the manor. I liked what you did with it. Italian shit everywhere. Oh, so you did get me back to your apartment then? Not quite. I got you in the bathroom on launch night. I screwed you in the bathroom of a show home? Oh, God. Her forehead falls onto my chest and rolls from side to side in despair. That's not like me. I don't do things like that. I smile and wrap her in my arms, savoring the moment of her being so close. She wasn't like that. I know. That was one of the things I loved about her. Problem is, she's still that young woman in her mind. It was incredible. The want thrumming from your body, mirroring mine. We were inevitable, baby. A spark just waiting to explode. And trust me, we exploded. I swallow, my face in her hair, my body coming to life just talking about that moment in our history. The moment she gave in. The moment the explosion happened. As a result of my thoughts, my cock starts to stiffen, and it can't have escaped Ava's notice since she's sitting on the damn thing. She better not move. I can't promise I'll be able to hold back. She shifts, and I suppress a growl. Not very successfully. I'm iron behind my jeans. My veins are hot. My heart jumping. It's not a good place to be when any kind of Jesse-style fuck is off the table. Lips straight, she finds my eyes, and I see that dormant lust lingering in their depths. She swallows and drops her gaze to my lips. Fucking hell, I've never been so starving for her. Never been so desperate to take her. Never felt so paralyzed by desire. She's just staring at my mouth, her body now unmoving in my lap, her mind clearly racing. She wants to kiss me, wants to taste me. Are you ready to stop fighting it now? I ask. Being catapulted back to Luso when I finally got to take what I so badly wanted. I need all of you. Say I can have all of you. She immediately looks confused by her words, but I'm fucking elated. Because even though she doesn't know where these words are coming from, they're coming, and that's really all the hope I can count on right now. You can have all of me, I tell her quietly. Even though she already owns every fiber of my being. She slowly drops forward until her lips gently meet mine. It's a beautiful moment. One, along with many others that I will cherish for as long as I live. I don't take the lead, deciding that I should let her take it at her own pace, and I'm more than happy with her pace. It's slow. It's soft. It's gentle and loving and everything that it should be. It's everything that I feel.
The sofa melds around my back, and Ava melds into my front. My head resting back, my mouth and my tongue lax to easily follow her movements. My hands keep a firm hold of her hips, just enough to tell her that I'm here, and I so desperately want to be. I haven't tasted her in over a week. It's the longest stretch I've ever gone without kissing her, feeling her, and maybe that is why every sense feels heightened. She tastes more potent. My skin feels hypersensitive to her touch. It's perfect. So perfect, I never want it to end. Are you okay? I ask against her lips when she pauses a beat before resuming her exploration of my mouth. Her palms holding my cheeks as if she's scared I'll move and break her flow. You're such a good kisser, she mumbles, pushing her front into me, not helping with the situation behind the fly of my jeans. Kissing. Yeah, great, but I'm not sure she's ready for more just yet. It feels like we've done this a million times. Got it down to a fine art. We have done it a million times, I say, quickly cursing myself when she breaks our lips and pulls away. Of course. Her cheeks are flushed, and I'm struggling to fathom whether it's with embarrassment or desire. Sorry, I got a little carried away. Ah, the strength it takes for me not to bark my frustration nearly breaks me. Don't apologize, I order as softly as I can, taking her chin and directing her face to mine. Thank you. For what? For that amazing kiss. She smiles almost shyly. Thank you too. Her blush is heartbreaking because it signifies the loss of our time, and deeply gratifying because I can at least make her blush again. She was so used to me after all these years, nothing I said or did fazed her anymore. I want to take you out tomorrow, I tell her. Do you think you can manage it? Where are you taking me? Reaching for her hair, I push a stray lock over her shoulder. A little trip down memory lane. She says nothing, just smiles as I rise from the couch with her still attached to my front. Encouraging her to find her feet, I turn her by her shoulders and push her on. Go get ready for dinner. Bossy again. She muses. Like I said, get used to it. I release her at the bottom of the stairs and watch as she takes them slowly, constantly glancing over her shoulder at me. I cock my head, lifting my eyebrows when she tries to hide a secret smile. What's tickled you? I call. Her delicate shoulders jump up in a small shrug, but she doesn't say anything. She doesn't need to. She felt something powerful just then, something in our kiss that reinforced the rightness of her being here with me. She was lost in that moment, and her mind was blank for all the right reasons. Chapter 19. The next morning I'm all set. I've called Dr. Peters to ensure I'm not pushing her too far, and he reassured me that my plan to revisit some of our past is a good idea. Just to take it easy with her, which was a stupid fucking thing to say. We also chatted briefly about all these small hints of memories, all the words, and he seemed thrilled by that. All in all, I'm feeling pretty good. I know where we're going, what we're doing, and I'm really looking forward to it. That kiss last night. It was just a kiss, but it was earth-moving. I felt like she was breathing hope into me. It made sleeping alone again that little bit more bearable. What are you looking at? I ask as Ava performs a full assessment of me in the hallway, her eyes roaming up and down my tall frame. You just don't seem the type to wear leather trousers. She's thinking so hard, she's frowning. Then again, you didn't seem the type to own a sex club, either. Looking up at me, she shrugs a little. I guess they go hand in hand. Laughter so rich and loud spills out of me. It isn't what you think, I assure her, chuckling as I produce another set of leather trousers.
These are yours. Oh, God, next you'll be pulling out a whip. I recoil, my arm dropping limply to my side. There's no whip. Oh, shit. Her mouth snaps shut, her disposition quickly awkward. I'm guessing whips are a no-go zone for us. It's not the most thrilling part of our history. I hand her the trousers and she takes them, if a little cautiously. Not because she's still wondering what we're doing and why she'll be wearing them, but because her mind is whirling about that horrid time. You told me that I punished you too, she says, looking at the leather in her grasp. You punished yourself by being whipped. So how did I punish you? I flinch, the cracking of leather across her back echoing through my skull like the perfect kind of torture. Though her reasoning at the time eventually made sense to me, it didn't make it any easier to accept. Anger sizzles, threatening to surface as I eye her with caution and collect my keys and shades. I'd rather not revisit one of the most horrific moments in my life. My answer only seems to enhance her curiosity, and in true Ava style, she pushes on. Something tells me that I didn't dump your ass for a few days, or give you the silent treatment. So how did I punish you? It's not important. I make my way to the door, eager to end this conversation. I'm a fool. Evading questions and distracting Ava in the early days of our relationship was what got me into such a mess in the first place. Haven't I learned? Your body language disagrees, she calls, pulling me to a stop at the door. Tell me. Tell her. Will she believe it? I didn't at the time, and I saw firsthand the nightmare unfolding before me. That bastard lashing her, her body hanging limply. I swallow and turn to face her, as well as facing up to my responsibility. You weren't punishing me for sleeping with someone else. She flinches at the reminder, and though the vision hurts, something sick inside me appreciates her reaction, because it's another sign that she cares. The thought of me with another woman pains her, even now when she doesn't know me. Then what was I punishing you for? Having my guilt thrashed out of me. For hurting myself. Another flinch. It's a minor reaction in contrast to the horror scene that played out in the manor that awful day. But it still pricks at my skin relentlessly. Her jaw stiffens, her eyes becoming fierce. It's familiar, if unwelcome right now. Tell me. I match her stoic expression and spill. You had yourself whipped too. Her mouth falls open. You let some scumbag shackle you half naked and you let him whip you. Happy? Do I fucking look happy? She spits, throwing the trousers to the floor. Why the hell would I do that? Because, I say. Unable to rein myself in, the anger that's laid dormant within me all these years racing to the surface, unstoppably. I get my threatening face close to hers. She doesn't budge an inch, squaring up to me in return. My defiant little temptress, my angel, my Ava, here she fucking is. Because you wanted me to understand how much you love me. Because you wanted me to feel how you felt when you found me being thrashed. My nostrils flare as she stares me down, our noses nearly touching, my body bent a little to make sure of it. And it fucking worked! Her jaw so tight is ticking wildly. She's mad. Whether she's mad because she knows deep inside that she really did do that, or if she's mad because she can't remember isn't a question I'm bothered about in this moment. Because beyond the anger, I see a familiar potent craving. I see that mixture of fury and desire, the need to rip a strip off me and rip my clothes off. When we're angry with each other, the sex is even more passionate, crazy and satisfying. It's all here before me now, yet I cannot be the one to make the first move. I can't push for this. For the first time in our relationship, I'm depending on her to give me what I want, and more importantly, what I need more than anything in the world. Our connection. Our chemistry. Kiss me, I demand. Now. Fuck you. Watch your fucking mouth, I bark. A secret smile hiding behind my straight face. She doesn't try to hide hers. Screw you. 3, I say lowly. 0, baby. She lunges forward, smashing her lips to mine, her arms virtually strangling me as she climbs up my body. I stagger back, fucking chaos breaking out in my leather trousers, heat, blood and solid flesh raging down there. She's unforgiving in a demand for my mouth. Harsh stabs of her tongue against mine, vicious tugs of my hair, deep, throaty groans of pleasure. My back hits the doorframe, jolting her in my arms. Not that it distracts her from her mission. I can do nothing more than keep up with her pace, silently demanding her to start ridding us of clothes so I can lose myself in her, find the peace I need, relish the joining of our bodies. Her hot, wet tongue circles my mouth. Our heads tilting and turning constantly, taking other angles, pulling back, smashing together once again. It's madness, disorderly, absolutely incredible. And then as quickly as it started, it stops. Like she could have been hit with 1,000 volts of electricity. She catapults back, forcing me to release her before she dives clean out of my arms. Oh my God. She sputters, brushing herself down, hands faffing everywhere, eyes avoiding mine. That kiss has wiped me of breath. I'm panting like I'm exhausted. I don't know what came over me. Well, it wasn't me, I mutter to myself, forcing back the mental image of me doing exactly that. Coming all over her. Kneeling over her. Her arms pinned down, my hand thrusting my cock in her face as she watches, my cum coating her lovely face, and her tongue licking it all up. Fuck! I physically rearrange myself, looking for room in my trousers to accommodate my raging hard-on. There's no room. Not in these damn things. Something got the better of me. She looks up at me, and I can see immediately that she gets it. Even if she doesn't know me, she gets it. The ridiculously strong attraction was the first stepping stone to utter fucking perfection. And thank God she's not misplaced that. Yes, I got the better of you, I say, peeling my back away from the doorframe. Ava darts surprised eyes at me. Now, are you finished unraveling your knickers, lady? I take her hand, scoop the trousers from the floor, and lead her out to the garages. Pressing the button on the remote, I hold back while the door rolls open. Bloody hell, Jessie. She drops my hand and moves into the garage, motioning to the lines of cars and superbikes. Are these all yours? Making my way over to the cabinet, I pull our helmets down from one of the shelves. All ours. These must be worth hundreds of thousands. Which is why the garage is alarmed and the cars all have trackers. Trackers? Her head tilts, somewhere between interest and worry. Did you have a tracker on my car? Of course. I don't beat around the bush. A nice little app on my phone told me where you were at all times. I laugh when she snorts, disgusted. Don't worry. You had the app too.
I did?
Yes. You worry about me as much as I worry about you. I hold up the helmets. What are those for? We're going swimming, I quip dryly, pointing to her hands. And those are your trunks. Ava glances down at the leather trousers in her grasp, comprehension coming to her. She inhales quickly and swings toward my superbike, definitely thrilled by the prospect.
I'm going on that thing?
I'm laughing again. That's a little different from what you said the first time I took you for a ride.
A ride?
Her eyebrow cocks with interest, extending my laughter. There's that suggestiveness in her again. I approach her slowly,
a little ominously, and dip, bringing our faces closer. You love riding the bike, but you love riding me even more. Red creeps into her cheeks. It's such a satisfying sight, again taking me back to the early days when she was trying to hide how much she was floored by me. She tries to rectify her fluster. I would challenge that, if I didn't know it to be true. Oh, interesting. And how do you know? She immediately starts to shift in the spot, and I grin, glancing down at her chest. Nipples like bullets. And I bet her knickers aren't too dry either. All the signs thrill me. Get your trousers on. She smiles, steps back, and does as she's bid. And that's highly satisfying too. All these natural instincts in her. It's hope. Do I ride on my own? She asks. I scoff. Never. Only ever with me. Why? She's generally interested. Bikes are dangerous machines. So are cars, she counters quietly as she pulls her trousers up her legs. I still and flicker a glance. I can't help but think that had I enforced my demand to have her in a Range Rover, we wouldn't be in this nightmare right now. Judging by the state of her Mini, I'm surprised she's even alive. My veins instantly freeze on that thought.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I push on, demanding my mind to steer away from such sickening thoughts. I have her. She's here. Once we're both covered in leather, I place her helmet over her head, gently smiling a smidgen, while I fasten her chin strap. I have déjà vu, she mumbles through her squished cheeks. That's got to be a good thing, right? I'm sure it is. I assure her, wriggling her helmet as gently as I can to check it's secure. You look fucking hot. I know. She flexes her head from side to side. And it's good to see you're wearing leathers too. She freezes, as do I, both of us staring at each other. Why did I say that? She suddenly looks puzzled and my hope dies, but only a little. Because the doctor said he's pleased. All these little things here and there. There has to be a pinnacle moment that will bring it all rushing back. Something that will open the floodgates. I go ahead and try to explain. When we first met, I never wore leathers. Her eyes drop to my stomach. I know what she's thinking. She's thinking about the scars on my abdomen. She's thinking I must have sustained those injuries in an accident. And I don't put her straight. You weren't happy about it, I finished gently, sweeping my arm out toward the bike, an indication for her to hop on board. She heads for the bike without thought or question. I'm not surprised, you're not indestructible, I know. She stops for a beat, slowly looking over her shoulder and down to my stomach again. This is so weird. I laugh sarcastically. Just a bit. Joining her, I throw my leg over the bike and settle in the seat. Put your foot on. My instruction fades off when I feel her front squished up behind me in the seat, her arms circling my midriff. Okay, then. I feel like I should be, but I'm not even scared, she declares, snuggling closer. Where are we going? Looking down at her hands linked over my stomach, feeling her head rested on my back, her body pushed tight to mine brings me a little peace. Whether she knows it or not, she trusts me. I pull my helmet on and start up my Ducati 1299 Superleggera, giving it a few exhilarating revs. The roar is only amplified in the enclosed garage, and Ava's hold of me constricts. Had I not spoken to the doctor, this definitely wouldn't be happening. But she's comfortable. So comfortable. Besides, like I would let anything happen to her. I kick up the stand and roll us out of the garage, taking it steadily to the main road. I ignore her demand for me to speed up. This ride will be slow and careful. Not something I'm really familiar with, but but fast getting used to, because I have to. Chapter 20. With Ava nestled so snugly against my back, I may have gone the long way to my intended destination. I make no apologies for that. She's lucky I'm even letting her off the bike now. She swings elegantly but a little gingerly off the back, like she's done it a million times before, which she has. Then she unclips her helmet and pulls it off, tentatively shaking out her long, dark waves. Sweet mother of all things holy, my cock lunges like a depraved animal trying to escape a cage. It's not a bad comparison. It's been way too long since I've had sex. My balls are about to explode, and that moment back there in the hallway when she jumped at me hasn't helped my situation. Next, she unzips her jacket, revealing her white casual t-shirt and a little cleavage. Not too much. Just a hint of the boobs I love so much. I shouldn't look. It's only slowly torturing me. Hey! My visor flips up, courtesy of Ava, and she scowls at me playfully. Are you staring at my boobs? What's it got to do with you? I retort offhand, making her hover between light laughter and gawking at me. Because they're mine. I snort and get off the bike. There are plenty of things for me to remind you of, and this is one of the most important. I point my finger at her chest, then let it travel the entire length of her body. All this is mine. She slaps my hand away. You're a pig-headed asshole. Yeah, yeah, I sigh tiredly. It's still all mine. Huffing and puffing a few times, she flips me a scowl. For what point, I don't know. Maybe just to demonstrate her exasperation. It would be refreshing if it wasn't boring these days. Yet this little back-and-forth thing we have going on is strangely wonderful. What are we doing here anyway? She looks across the grassy plains of Hyde Park. We're going for a walk. Or a mooch, as you like to put it. You mooch in shops, not in parks. You don't like mooching in shops with me, I tell her. Why? Because I trample all the dresses you like, I reply candidly, as I take her helmet from her hand and put it with mine in the seat. So I go shopping for you. You buy my clothes. Horror is a blanket across her lovely face. Control what I wear. Pretty much, yes. And now isn't the time to try and change that. I offer my hand and she takes it automatically. We're happy as we are. You mean you're happy. Trust me, Ava. You are deliriously happy. I march on my way. Not too quickly as she doesn't struggle to keep up. Just tell me if you need a rest. I need a rest. I move in front of her and dip, taking the backs of her thighs gently and hauling her onto my back. She yelps, but leaves me to my thing. Better. You're going to carry me all the way around the park. Yes, I reply, with utter finality, my pace picking up now that I haven't got to worry about wearing her out. Her protests don't come. A question, however, does. How old are you? She asks, linking her arms around my neck and resting her chin on my shoulder. 24. Just tell me. No. Why? Because I want you to find out for yourself. And how am I going to do that? I look out the corner of my eye, the edge of my lip lifting. I'm sure you'll think of something. I see her mind immediately whirling. She's brainstorming. Good. Never in my life would I have imagined myself silently willing her to handcuff me and leave me at her mercy again. But now, I'd do anything. And now I wouldn't get irate and lose the plot. I'd smile my damn way through the fucking torture. Comfortable up there? I ask, glancing to her face resting on my shoulder as I pace down the path. Peeking at me, she nods discreetly before lowering her lips to my cheek and kissing me softly.
Very.
I close my eyes and savor her affection, not knowing where it's come from, but unwilling to question it too deeply. Then she resumes her position, chin on my shoulder. I could get very used to this. You already are, baby. I breathe in, then exhale slowly. You already are. I continue down the path, feeling positive and actually quite excited about the rest of our day. That was easy affection, and I want more of it. When we come to the exact spot I had planned, I gently lower her to her feet and point to the grass. Lie down. She laughs, caught between wariness and humor.
Why?
Because I told you to.
And I always do what you tell me, do I?
I fucking wish, I mutter, lowering to the grass and putting myself on my back. I spread my arms and legs, imitating Ava's beat form the first time I took her for a run and she collapsed with exhaustion.
Familiar?
I ask.
Should it be?
I pout, disappointed. Maybe I should drag you on a 10-mile run.
She splutters above me. Are you serious? I'd be dead.
You practically were the first time, but you soon got used to it.
Now you're like Forrest Gump.
She glances down her body, taking in the good shape she's in. Running clearly does nothing for my boobs. I'm up on my elbows like lightning.
Oh no, lady, I laugh, though it's with dread rather than humor.
Don't even think about it. I shake my head furiously, daring her to defy me.
They're not how I remember them,
she muses, chin on her chest as she takes them in. Of all the things that aren't how she remembers, she's worried about her boobs.
Your boobs are perfect.
What's crawled up your ass?
You!
I snap, reaching for her hand and tugging her down to the grass. A quick expert maneuver has her beneath me in a flash, trapped and panting. My grin must be epic as I nestle my body between her thighs and claim her wrists, thrusting them up over her head.
You look good under me. You look good over me.
Now she's grinning too. And if I wasn't already on the ground, the impact of her voluntary affection would have knocked me on my ass. Something has shifted between us. Since that kiss last night, I feel like we're making progress, even if there are no monumental breakthroughs in her memory. She's receptive. I see she's curious about so much, not just the last 16 years, but me, this man who is her husband, this man who loves her with a fierceness that's debilitating for both of us. She smiles, scanning my face, reading my thoughts. Was that your chat-up line when we met? Her question brings on a crazy bout of laughter, my muscles forced to engage in order to hold me up and not squish her under me.
Not quite.
What was it then?
The true, almost excited curiosity in her eyes is another sucker punch to my heart.
She thinks it'll be all romantic, sweet and light, make her swoon and go all giddy. I made her giddy all right. I remember it well. Her shock, her disgust, but more the look in her eyes that told me she was wondering how loud she really would scream. I cough my throat clear. I'm not sure you're ready for that part.
After everything you offloaded already, she snorts, and I growl.
Give me a break.
I'll give you something, I whisper, flexing my groin into hers without thought.
We're in the park, she whispers lustfully,
with zero concern that we're actually in the park.
She's saying what she thinks she should say. Wherever, whenever, baby. You know that. I don't wait for her to kiss me. I can see she wants me to, and the moment is too perfect to waste. So I gently drop my lips to hers and coax her mouth open softly, swallowing down the low, appreciative noises she makes. I'm learning fast. Her lips pass over mine at the same steady pace, and I smile against them. This is perfect. You like gentle Jesse? I love gentle Jessie. She speaks between our kiss, totally indulging in